Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos. We're going to begin really at the very bottom of Pei Tes Amud Aleph, even though we did this yesterday, but we'll chazer it over, and Amir Tzashem also do Daf Tzadi. This will be the last, hopefully, of the additional Amud that we add on to make up for all of the days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, first days and last days of Sukkot that will be difficult for people to catch up if we don't go a little bit ahead now. We're learning today Lili Nishmas Asilya Baum, Cyril Bas Rav Avram. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. We'll chazer over quickly from Pei Tes Omud Aleph with the words Tanan, which is 10 lines up from the bottom of the Yom. We're not going to read every word here. We did this all yesterday. We'll just remind ourselves of the Mishnah first. So Tanan, we have the following Mishnah that we had learned yesterday, which said, Ksuba the Eini Mo Get. If a woman comes with her Ksuba but doesn't have a Get, so she says that she lost her Get. And the husband says, well, I lost the receipt that I paid for the Get. So in this situation, L'chein Baal Chov, likewise, the same halach would apply with the Baal Chov, where he brings his IUU, and it's a year of Prosbul, it's a year of Shemitah, and as we pointed out, we're all going to have to, Mitz Hashem, write a Prosbul, make a Prosbul before the end of this year. If you wish to be able to collect any debts that you have, you transfer them over to Beis Din, therefore they're not stopped from being able to be collected during the Shemitah years, because Beis Din has the right to go collect them, even though an individual person, it's the Shemitah is Mashmetes, it removes you from being able to collect them. In any event, likewise, if a person has an IOU, Reuven lends Shimon $1,000, Shimon therefore owes him $1,000, there's a document, but if he doesn't have a Prosbul, technically Shimon wouldn't have to go and pay that once the Shemitah year is over. So in both of these situations, the woman collected a ksuba, the man trying to collect a debt, an IOU, without having a Prosbul, so the Mishnah had said, Hare Elu Lo Yiparu, you're not allowed to go and collect such a debt. So we said this works out well with Shmuel. Shmuel's opinion was that a person is able to go collect just by bringing the get with the Ikr Ksuba, the Mona Masayim, as well as Tosefes Ksuba, so this works out very, very well. This was discussing Mukala B'Mokum Shein Kosum, this Mishnah, yesterday's Mishnah, was talking about a place where the custom was not to write a Ksuba. They could collect, therefore, the basic Ksuba, the Ikr Ksuba, as well as Tosefes Ksuba, there would obviously have to be some sort of documentation what that amount was, without having a Ksuba, and therefore, when the woman presents her get, she collects both of them. So that works out very, very well. And in this situation, the man said, I did write her a ksuba, even though that wasn't the custom. And we said, if you bring a raya, that you wrote her a ksuba, so then she won't be able to collect the ksuba without bringing it forward. But if you can't bring a raya to that, then she's allowed to go collect both the ikka ksuba as well as the tosefes ksuba. So Shmuel was a fine. But now, El or Rav, according to Rav's opinion, who had said that you collect with the get, the ikr ksuba, the mona masayim, and you collect with the ksuba only the tosefes ksuba, so according to Rav, he the ikr logavya, by bringing forth only the ksuba, she wouldn't be able to collect the ikr ksuba, that certainly is Rav's opinion, however, he the ikr logavya, tosefes miogav tigvi, she should be able to go and collect the tosefes ksuba. So how come? Our Mishnah said that lo yiparu. That was the question that we asked on Rav from yesterday, and we brought down Rav Yosef. Here we'll pick up, go word by word. Rav Yosef, three lines in the bottom. Pei Tes Amud Aleph. Hachma Yiskin, what are we talking about? Kishein Shom Eide Gerishin. In this situation, there is no proof that the woman is divorced. So all she does is produce a ksuba, but with no get and with no witnesses that she's a divorced woman, the husband has a migu. The husband can say, if he wished to lie, he would say, migu, the yochol lemeimer, lo gerashti. He could say, hey, listen, honey, you're my wife. Come on home. I'm not paying the ksuba. You're my wife. You have no proof that you're divorced, so I'm certainly not paying the tosefes ksuba if you don't bring the get forward. So in that situation, the husband could have argued that he's not really divorced from her, and we turn to pay test of a base. Therefore, yochol lemeimer, we believe him when he says, Gerashti, I divorced her, v'nosati lo ksubasa, and I already paid the ksuba. So in this situation, unless she can produce the get, so then he is believed to say that he already paid her. That's why the Mishnah said, lo yiparu. Now, here we pick up new stuff. Ha mitani seifa, but wait a second, keep on reading the Mishnah from yesterday. We said, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel omer, min hasakana ve'elech, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel said, that Nebuchadnezzar, at the times when the Jews were persecuted, and they were told, that if we find you with a get, and we find you with a prosbul, we're going to kill you. So what do? They would write the get, they'd write the prosbul, and then they would burn it, they would get rid of it, so they wouldn't be caught with the documents that would lead to their death. So in that situation, Shimon Gamaliel said, Isha govek subos shlobo get, a woman can go collect her ksuba without having a get, and a Baal Chov is allowed to go collect his chov, shlobo prosbul, without showing the prosbul, because they had to destroy the get and the principal. So Rav Shmuel said the din has changed now because of this persecution. So therefore, we're obviously dealing that there are Eidei Gerushin, because the Eka Eidei Gerushin, my Gavya, how would Rav Shimon Gamliel say that you can go collect the Ksuba without a get? So there must be proof that you're divorced, otherwise we'd have the same problem, that how you go collect the Ksuba without a get. So therefore, we have a problem understanding Rav in the way that we just said. So the Gemara says, you're right, Elo, the entire Mishnah is one opinion. It's not a machlokas between Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Elakula Rav Shimon Gamliel, the entire Mishnah is to be understood as being the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And how do you read it as follows? You read it, V'chasuri Matzavol Kiktani. There are parts missing. As I mentioned many times, Rebbe intentionally left out parts because Rebbe wrote down the Mishnayis, Eis Lasos Hashem Efer Rosor Secha, but he wanted to remind everybody that the Torah Shebaal Peh is really not supposed to be written down, so every now and then he would leave out critical parts and remind us of this din. So the Chisuri Me'atzavol Chitani. So they left out certain parts over here intentionally, and this is how the Mishnah should really be read and understood. So when the Mishnah said, Harei El Lo Yifro, in the situation where the woman just brings forth her ksuba but doesn't have a get, or the Balchov just brings forth the IOU document but doesn't have a prusbul, so then the Mishnah said, Harei Lo Yifro. Oh, we said previously that was the Tanakama, but now we're saying this is all Rav Shimon Gamliel. He's the one that's saying this. And then he adds on, Bamedvar Mamurim, under what circumstances do we say that you can't go collect with the ksuba or the IOU without the prusbul? Under what circumstances did we say that? Kishain shom Eidei Gerushin, when there are no witnesses to the divorce. So therefore, the man had the migul. However, avo yeshom Eidei Gerushin, if you do have, in fact, witnesses that the woman is divorced, and now she just brings forth her ksuba, so then Rav would hold Gavya Tosefis, no problem. This fits in perfectly well with Rav, and says that by bringing forth the ksuba, the woman is allowed to collect the Tosefis ksuba. The ikar, the base kesuba, the mona masayim, that depends. You can only collect that with a get. Imavka gita gavya. If she brings forth the get itself, then they'll rip it up and she can collect the ika ksuba, as we pointed out already. And the lo mafka gita, but if she cannot bring forward the get, so then lo gavya. She's not entitled to collect the mona masayim. But that was pre-danger times. Rav Shimon Gamliel continues, and he says, "Umin ha'sakana ve'eilech." But once Nebuch, it became dangerous to hold on to your get or to hold on to a prusbul. So Avol gadolo ma'afka gita gavya. Then, even though the woman doesn't bring forth a get, she has witnesses of his divorce, but she does have the ksuba. So when she brings forth the ksuba, she is able to go collect not only the Tosefes ksuba, which Rav says normally only you can collect with the ksuba, only the Tosefes ksuba. But here, since it was the time of danger, and they no longer kept the get, so she can also go collect the Ikka Ksuba, the Mona Masayim, with the bringing forth of the Ksuba. As Shimon Gamliel Omer, Misakona Ve'elach, Isha Gova Ksubasa, Shalom Beget, Ubalchov, Shalom Beprosbol. Because of the dangers, the rabbis allowed a woman to collect both the Tosefes Ksuba, which Rav says normally that's what you collect with the Ksuba, but also the Ikka Ksuba when there is witnesses that she was divorced, but it was a time of danger, and therefore we don't want her to hold on to her get, and therefore we allow her to collect the Iker Ksuba, the Mona and Masayim, with the Ksuba, which normally only collects the Tosefes Ksuba, in a case when it was dangerous to hold on to the get. And the rabbi said, once you get the get, you're divorced. As long as you have witnesses that you were divorced, you can collect the Iker Ksuba as well from the Ksuba, and you don't need the get. Okay. Rav continues and says, okay, we answered the first question that we had on Rav, but we have another question on Rav now. Amrele Rav Kahana v'Ravasi l'Rav. Both Rav Kahana and Ravasi, who were Tamidim of Rav, they said to their Rebbe Rav, l'didach, according to your opinion, the Amris that you hold, get gova ikar, that when a woman brings forth the get, she only collects the ikar ksuba, the mona masayim. And when she brings forth the ksuba, then she only collects the tosefes ksuba, according to your opinion, Almona min ha-nisuin b'may gavya. A woman who is a full-fledged married woman, she's a nisua, and Nebuch, her husband, dies. How would she possibly go and collect the ikar ksuba? All she's allowed to collect from the ksuba is a tosefes ksuba, but she doesn't have a get, she's an almona. How would she ever go and collect the ikar ksuba, the mona, and masayim? So the Gemara says, very simple, be'ei demiso. She has to just bring proof that her husband's dead. If she brings proof that her husband is dead, so then, obviously, she can collect the Ikka Ksuba with those Eidim, and the Tosefes Ksuba she collects with the Ksuba itself. So no problem. Rav will say no problem. The Gemara says, no. What about Velechosh? Why aren't we concerned over here that, in fact, Dilma Gersha, in fact, her husband divorced her, and therefore she shouldn't be entitled to the Iker Ksuba, the money Messiah, unless she brings forward that get. So here, she's silent, she doesn't say anything about the get, her husband died, so she comes to collect both of them now. And she, in fact, collected the Iker Ksuba, the money and Messiah, going to a different base than at a previous time, and now she wants to collect the Iker Ksuba again. And she's either going to go and bring the get afterwards to another basin, or she brought the get already to a different basin, and she's collecting twice. So Gemara says, "B'yoshev is tachas bala." How would Rav answer that to get around this problem? Rav would say that we're dealing here with she was living in happy harmony with her husband right up until the time of death. Everybody knows she visited him every day in the hospital. They're a loving couple, and Nebuch, the husband, passed away, so therefore there's no concern over here of a get. Nudwar says, who says? Vidilma Somach Lamisa Gersha. Maybe for whatever the reasons, the husband went and divorced her right before the death. So Gemara says, Rab will say to that, Iyu, who do you have said anavshi? Then, if that really happened, then he should have told somebody. If it was a secret, only the two witnesses and the husband and the wife know that she's been divorced. So then it's his own fault if she goes collects twice, once because she's an almana, and then she collects a second time in another basin when she brings forth the get and says, listen, I'm divorced. The get's not ripped up, so therefore I obviously didn't collect it, so I want to go collect from the estate, mana and masayim, a second time. More say, no. Almana mina erisin b'maygavya. Okay, so granted, Rav, you explained how an almana mina nisuin could go collect, but what about an almana who is only almana from the erisin? Now, the erisin, they weren't living together, so therefore, you can't show me b'yoshev es tachas bala. She's not living with the bala. She's still living in her father's house. It's after erisin, and therefore, she's entitled to a ksuba. At least we're saying right now, she's entitled to a ksuba, and therefore, if she's an almana mina erisin b'maygavya, she obviously doesn't have a get. So, in that situation, she's an almana. She's a widow. But how can she go collect the Iker Ksuba? The Tosefes Ksuba, she can collect with the Ksuba, as Rav holds. But how would you ever, in this situation, go and collect the Iker Ksuba? Aren't we afraid that maybe Lechosh Dilma Gersha, the husband, might have divorced her, and therefore she's going to collect twice? When you have the Nesua, so then you can say, B'yoshev es tachas bala, but the Erusa, you can't say that. So that's what the Gemara's question is right now. Amon min Erusa b'may gavya. How would she ever go collect her Iker Ksuba? So Gemara says, B'edim Isa. Again, same thing. You bring forth the Edim that the husband died. B'lechosh dilma gersha. But here, too, we should be concerned that maybe the husband divorced her, and here there's no Yoshev es tachas bala, and therefore, umaf gogit v'gavya. So right now, she'll collect the Iker Ksuba, Amon Masayim with the Ksuba. And then, a year later, she'll go to another base and say, listen, here's my get, I was divorced, I never collected my Iker Ksuba, so pay me the Iker Ksuba, and she'll collect twice. So Rav says, you're right. Ella, you know what we're talking about over here? B'makom d'lo efshar, kasvin and shover. You're 100% right. In this situation, where there is no choice, only here do we say that we force the husband to go and accept, so to say, a shover. So if he doesn't hold on to it, it's his own fault. But in general, you can't bring me a raya that we write a shover against somebody's will, so to say. Again, from yesterday's discussion, we said that there's a machlokes. Are you forcing somebody to write a shover? Reuven lends him $1,000 and has a document to show that. And then, when Shimon wants to pay him back, Shimon's an erlich guy, pays him back $1,000. Reuven says, I'm sorry, I lost the document. So there are two options. Shimon can say, I'm not paying you back until you give me back the document, or Shimon can be forced to pay him back because he admits he owes the money, and we write Shimon a shover, a receipt, to say that in case Reuven ever finds the document and tries to collect on it a second time, Shimon will have the receipt. But then Shimon has the obligation to hold on to that receipt. So do we or do we not force a person to have that obligation? So we tried to bring a raya from Rav and Shmuel yesterday that they hold that you can force a person to take the shover. And we said, no, you can't do that. So over here, Rav is admitting that when you have no choice, as in the woman who's an almanim in an erisin, there's a concern that she could collect the base Kesuba, the Mona Masayim, twice, once as an Amana, and then when she really takes out her get a year later, because she really was a Grusha and not an Amana, she'll collect it a second time. So over here, we have no choice, but Malcolm Dolefshar, Kasvin on Shover. We do, in fact, write a Shover for the husband, so if the woman tries to collect a second time, he can bring out a Shover, or his estate will bring out a Shover, he's dead, the estate will bring out the Shover that says, listen, I already paid the Kesuba, the base Kesuba. And I'll show you that this is right. The one says, "Di lo te mahachi." If this isn't correct, that we force him to take a shover in this situation, e de misa gufayu. So even though you have proof that the woman is an almana, that the man died, and she collects the ksuba based upon that, she collects not only the Tosefes Kesuba, but she'll also collect the base Kesuba, the money Masayim. So Nechosh Duma Mafku Edimisa Bahai Bedina Vegavya, and then Bahadur Mafku Bedina Achrina Vegavya. So if that's the only proof that we have, so then why don't we say that she collected once in this base, and then she's going to another base that said her husband died, and she'll collect the base Kesuba a second time? So obviously that could occur in every case. So therefore we have no choice. Elavadi Bemokum to left Shah Kazvin and Shover, that we do write a receipt if there is no alternative, if there is no choice. Mark continues and says, "Amale Mar Kishisha bereid Rav Chisla Ravashi." So Mar Kishisha, who was the son of Rav Chisla, said to Ravashi. Now there was a Mar Yanuka and a Mar Kishisha. Kishisha normally means older; Yanuka means younger. So we have a famous machlokus throughout Shas as to which son over here is the Kishisha and which son is the Yanuka. The simple understanding is that the Kishisha is the older son and the Yanuka is the younger son. Both of them were named Mar, and he therefore referred to one as the older Mar, and he referred to the other one as the younger Mar. That's a way to understand this. However, there's another way to understand this, that Bach brings down over here, that in fact, Mar Kishisha was the one that was the younger one, and Mar Yanuka was the older one. And the reason why the appellations are reversed over here, the older one is called Mar Yanuka, because he was born, Lefi Shenolad, Bialduso. He was born when the parents were younger. So he was called the son that was produced when they were young. And then they had later on in life, they had another child, and he was referred to as Mar Kishisha, the child who was born in their older age. In any event, this son of Rav Chisda, Mar Kishisha, said to Rav Ashi the following, Almona mino erisin milolon de islo ksuba. And Almona, who was from only erisin, they never had nesuin, but Nebuch, the husband, passed away. How do we know that she's entitled to ksuba at all? According to the whole discussion that we just had between Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asking Rav, there was an assumption that the Almona mina erisin is entitled to ksuba. So Mar Kishisha innocently asked to Rav Ashi, how do we know that she even gets a ksuba in that situation? Remember, we said that the Mishnah was talking about in a place where they didn't write a ksuba. So if the husband wrote her a ksuba, of course she's entitled to whatever the ksuba says. But in a place where they didn't write a ksuba, so where do we see that she's entitled to go collect the ikur ksuba? If you're going to tell me, Ilema meha, from the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah that we learned previously in the Masechta, where it said, Nis'armela o niskarsha, if the woman Nebuch became an almana or she was divorced, whether she was an arusa at the time of the divorce or whether she was a full-fledged nisu at the time of the divorce, gova es hakol. She's entitled to collect everything. Hakol means over here the base kesuba, the mona masayim, as well as any tosefes kesuba that the husband wrote. So that's going to be in a situation where dilma the cause of law. It's only if he wrote the kesuba. But let's say he didn't write a kesuba. So how do we know that she's entitled to collect mona and masayim? She's only an Amana from Erisin. Maybe the Ksuba was only set up for being an Amana min HaNisuin. You're going to tell me, V'chitema, because of law, my lememra, Mar Kishisha strengthens his question by saying, you're going to tell me that, in fact, he wrote her a Ksuba, so then, my lememra. So what's the Chiddush then? If he wrote her a Ksuba, of course she gets it. So then, what's the Chiddush of telling me this? La'afuke midrabi alozo ben Azariah. That's to come to exclude the din that Rav Elazar ben Azariah had said in the Mishnah, the Amar, he had said, Shlo kosav lo ela al menas shu konsa. Rav Elazar ben Azariah's opinion was that even though the husband wrote her a ksuba while she was still in Arusa, the intention was that when he takes her into the full Nisuin, it will take effect. But if he never takes her into the full Nisuin, he never intended to go and give her the ksuba. Therefore, she wouldn't be allowed to go collect the Tosefes Kesuba. And that's why the Mishnah had to say that an Arusa goes and collects even the Tosefes Kesuba. One might have thought that it's Rav Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, and therefore we come to exclude that opinion and say, Bein min erisin, bein min hanisuin, gova es hakol. And I'll show you that this is right. Daikunayni, because I can show you a diuk in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, gova es hakol, she collects everything. Now, everything implies the base kesuba, the mona masayim, as well as Tosefes kesuba. Now, if you're going to tell me, Yarmus Bishlomit Kosovlo, we're dealing with a case where he actually wrote her kesuba. We understand. Mishum Lachi, go over Sakol. She collects the Tosefes kesuba because that's what's written down in the kesuba. El Yarmus Lo Kosovlo, if you're telling me over here that it's in a situation where they didn't write the kesuba for the wife, so then, my go over Sakol, mona masayim hudi isla, then there is no Tosefes kesuba, so why would it say go over Sakol? It should have just said gova as ikur ksuba, mana umasayim. So therefore, that can't be the source, Mar Kishisha says to Rav Ashi, for where we know that there is a din of ksuba to an arusa. So try this source, he says. The Ella, You want to tell me the source is as follows. It's from Midatani Rav Chiya Bar Oven, from what Rav Chiya Bar Oven said, that Ishto Arusa, if a man has a wife who's an Arusa, and the Braisa then talks about if either he or she dies, so Ishto Arusa, a man is only in the Erisin stage of marriage with this woman, so never the woman dies, Lo Onain, he doesn't become an Onain over the death of his Arusa wife. A husband does become an Onain over the death of his Nesua wife, the wife that is a full wife of Nesua. And so then, Rechman al-Islam, the husband, this is one of the seven relatives, the husband becomes an Onain for her. If he's a Kohen, Velo Matamila, in the situation where she was only an Arusa, so then he's a Kohen, is also to become Tomei to Tumas Meis, except if it's one of the Zayin Krovim, and one of them would be his wife, but it's only a wife that's a Nesua, not a wife that's an Arusa. That's the Braisa that Rav Chiya Bar Oven brought down. Likewise, the other way around. V'chein, Rechman al-Islam, if it was the husband that was the one that passed away, so he, lo onenes, she doesn't become an onenes to him. She's mechuyevus in all the mitzvahs aseh. She can't exempt herself from doing any mitzvahs aseh because she's an onenes. She's not an onenes if it was only from Arusa that her husband died. V'lo mitami la. She doesn't have an obligation to become tomei to him, as a wife would normally become obligated to become tamei to her husband. Again, we pointed this out then when we learned this braisa earlier in the Masechta and in other places. This is a famous question. So there is no din. A bas kohen, a woman who's a kohenes, is allowed to become tamei meis. This is one of the three mitzvahs lo saseh that don't apply to a woman, even though they apply to a man. The other two having to do with payis. So the female kohen has no restriction on going to a levaya, on going to a cemetery. There's no problem. So what does it mean that she's not allowed to become tummy to him? There's no isser. So some suggest that this is talking about, again, right prior to the time we are right now, prior to the Shlosh Regalim, when there was a obligation on everybody to come tar in order to be able to go and bring the Korban Chagiga and eat from the Shalmei Simcha and the Shalmei Chagiga. And therefore, everybody had to become tar at this point in time. And therefore, if she was obligated to become tummy to her husband, then she'd be allowed to. But in this situation, when they were only married on the Arusa level, so then she wouldn't be allowed to become tummy to him and would have to try to stay tar in order to be tohora for the Shlosh Regalim. The Braisa continues and says, Mesa, if she dies, Eino Yorsha, he doesn't go and inherit her yet if they're only married on the Arusan stage. And Mesu, Rechon Aslan, he was the one that died. In this situation, she, in fact, Mesu, when he dies, so Govek Subasa. So here, where Rav Chiya Bar Oven brings down this braista, that she does, in fact, go for ksubasa. She does collect the ksuba. So you're going to tell me, in this situation, that you clearly see a raya from here, that an arusa does go collect the ksuba, and this is where Mark Yeshisha says, let's bring this as the raya, so Dilma de Kosovla. Why isn't this braista talking about a case where he happened to write her ksuba? And that's why she collects. But on the normal situations, Mark Yeshisha's question to Rav Ashi remains, where do we see that if there is no written ksuba, that a arusa, who never her husband dies, or if he divorces her, that she's entitled to go and collect the ksuba? He tries one more time. V'chitema, you're going to tell me, the kosav law, my lememra, you're going to say over here that it obviously is not talking about a case of kosav law, because then what would the chiddush be? So he says that in this situation, Mesa and Yarsha, it's Tzrichalei. So then the Chiddush would be teaching us the case of where she dies that the husband doesn't inherit her. So that's why he'd have to say it. So therefore, Mark Yeshisha's question to Rav Ashi is a very good question. He says, we don't have a source over here for the woman who's an Arusa going and collecting her ksuba. Nevertheless, even though we don't have a source, that is the din. And Mark Yeshisha was just questioning, what is the source for this? However, there was a Masorah, there was a tradition that in fact was the case, that the woman who's an Arusa and never her husband dies or divorces her, so in that situation, she is entitled to go collect the base kasuba. If there's a kasuba, then she can collect Tosefis kasuba as well, whatever was written into the kasuba. Finally, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, L'Rav, according to Rav's opinion, who says the Amar get gova ikar, and the woman, when she brings forth her get, she gets the ikar ksuba, and when she brings forth the ksuba, she only can collect the Tosefis ksuba. Why isn't Rav concerned? Leichosh, we should be concerned that Dilma maybe mafka gita b'hai beidina v'gavya, that she's going to bring forth her get in base the number one and go collect with that get. And then, in another few months, she'll go to another Beis Din. V'hadra mafka b'veidina achrina, she'll go bring the get forward in another Beis Din v'gavya, and she'll collect the second time. How come we're not concerned about that? Aye, you're going to tell me v'chitema de karina le, aye, the standard thing that we're saying, you rip the get, and therefore she can only collect with it once, but once you rip the get, Amra, she's going to say, listen, I need the get. I want to get married again. If you rip the get, people can say, I don't have a get, and I'm still a married woman. But you know, Li and Suve Bay, You can't rip my get, because if you rip my get, people are going to say that it wasn't a valid get. That's why it was torn. They're not going to say it was ripped because of my collecting the ksuba, and I'm going to be stuck. I'm going to be an aguna. I'm not going to be able to get remarried again. So Gemara says, no. Rav Huna responds to Rav Nachman, the Karina le, yes, we do rip the get, but we also write on it, because Vina Nagabe, we write on this ripped get. Don't think this isn't the valid get. Gito dinan, this get is a valid get. Kiranuhi, we went and ripped it up. Why? La mishum de get the puzzle, not because it wasn't the valid get. No, it was a perfectly valid get. The woman became divorced with this get. But we ripped it, and now we're writing you this document on this ripped get. Ela de lo tehada v'tig be zibno achmina, that the woman shouldn't go and try to collect it on the second time. So here, it's a valid get, we're stating that, but it's also been a paid get. The ikka ksuba was paid, and therefore, don't try use this get again to collect. Use it to show document that you're a divorced woman, but not that you can't have gotten your ksuba. No, you did get your ksuba, the ikka ksuba, the mana and masayim, with this get. Now we begin the next Mishnah. Shnei gitin or shnei ksubos. If a woman has two gitin and two ksubos, we'll explain momentarily why this would be the situation. As Rashi points out over here, that the first one has a zman on it that is kodem lizman haget. The first ksuba is written before the get, and the zman of the ksuba, the second one, is written before the get of the second one. So she has two gittin and two ksubos from two marriages. She got married to the guy, got divorced, she remarried him, had to gomer for Yisrael to remarry his wife as long as she hasn't got married to somebody else, and then she got divorced again. And the two ksubas written, one before the first gittin was written, one before the second gittin was written. So govo shnei ksubos. In this situation, she's entitled to go collect both of them. However, if it's shtei ksubos v'get echad, if there are two ksubos written, but there's only one get, or ksuva ushne gittin, or there's one ksuba written and there are two gets, or ksuva veget umisa, there's a ksuba written, there's a get written, and the husband died. In that situation, eina gova el ksuba achas. In these three scenarios, she will only collect one time the ksuba. Even in the case when there are two ksubas written, we'll see in the Gemara, she only collects on one of them. And the reasoning behind this, the Mishnah tells us, Shamagari says, Ishto Verzira. If a man goes and marries a woman, divorces her, and then remarries her again, Behet Gomer for Yisrael, so she hasn't got married to somebody else, Halmanas Ksuba Rishonim Achzir. He remarries her the second time, since he didn't pay off the first Ksuba, so it's with the assumption that the first Ksuba will not be paid off from the first marriage, and that will be the Ksuba for the second marriage, for the remarriage. Gemara starts off and says, I boy, bahai gavya. When she does have these two kisubos, then she's allowed to collect on whichever one she wants. If she wants to collect on the first one, she can. If she wants to collect on the second one, she can. Rashi formulates this in the form of a bismillah, of a question. Can she collect from whichever one she wants? She can collect from the first one, she can collect from the second one. And this is talking about the shtei kisubos situation and one get. Koi. Diktani ain lo el ksuba achas. In that situation, she says she only has one ksuba. When there was a ksuba and a get, then she collects both of them. Here we're talking about there are two ksubos and there is only one get. Velo ktani ain lo el ksuba achrone. It doesn't say that she has the last ksuba to collect, and that's why this is a question. Does that mean she could collect the first one or the second one? Don't we normally say that the second one would abrogate the first one? So let us say, the Gemara says, this seems to therefore contradict what Rav Nachman of Mishmul said. Where did Rav Nachman of Mishmul say something that's contradicted by this Mishnah? If a person has two documents about the same exact transaction, and two different dates on them, there's an earlier date on one, and then there's a later date on the other one. So then we assume Bitel Sheni Esarishon, the second document, uproots and abrogates the first document. So in this situation, the second ksuba should have gone, according to Rav Nachman and Mishul, and abrogated, exempted, made Mubatel the first ksuba. And therefore, the Mishnah, which seems to suggest that you could collect from this one or from that one, goes against Rav Nachman and Mishul. He's an Amora. And how can he go against the Mishnah? So he says, no, not necessarily so. We already asked and answered this. Laviat Marlah. Didn't we already answer this? Amar Papa, Rav Papa said, Umoda Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel is Moda. That in the situation, the Osif Bey Dikla, if the second document adds something to the first document, for example, there's an extra palm tree that's added to it, a Dikla. So then, Letosefes Kasve, that's written to add something onto it, and in that situation, she's allowed to go collect from the second one if she wishes, or she collect from the first one. Now, what is this talking about? This, we have this early in the Masechta. If you remember back on Daf Mem Dalet, We had a whole discussion where a man had two ksubas for his wife. The first one is written on an earlier date, and therefore the lien would be from that date. But he then added on something to the second ksuba, which he writes for her at a later date. So the second ksuba is more valuable. The case that we had over there was one ksuba was worth 200, and then he added on the second ksuba is worth 300. So in that situation, the woman has a choice. If she wishes to, so she can collect the ksuba. If her husband doesn't have enough property, so she'd rather collect it from the leaned properties. The husband doesn't have anything extant right now. So if you go back to the date of the first ksuba, he sold off one property, and that would she'll be able to at least collect the ksuba of 200 from that one. Whereas if you went to the second ksuba, while it's worth more, 300, the property that the one property that the husband had was already sold in between the first and the second ksuba's writing, so there wouldn't be a lien on it, and therefore there'd be nothing to collect. So while it's in theory worth 300, she can't collect any of it. So in that situation, she would prefer to collect with the earlier first ksuba because the lien properties would be included. On the other hand, if there's, Baruch Hashem, there's a nice estate, so then in that situation, she'd prefer to collect a larger amount, the 300, from the second date because the lien isn't as important. There's enough properties there. So therefore, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel had already taught us that when the second ksuba adds on something, so then you have the right to go collect with the second ksuba. So that's what our Mishnah means. Iboya b'hai gavya, iboya b'hai gavya. She could collect from either one that she wants, or whichever one is better for her. Now, Tana Rabban, we learn in the following braisa, hotzia get uksuba umisa. In the situation where the woman has a get, she has a ksuba, and she also has proof that her husband never passed away. And we turn to Tzadi Omer Aleph, as we get close to the end of this beautiful ninth parak. So, im get kodem liksuba. If the get was written before the ksuba, so then, gova shtei ksubos. Then she gets actually two ksubos, because her first marriage had a separate ksuba, because here, the get is written before the ksuba is written. So obviously, this ksuba is from a remarriage, a second marriage. So therefore, in that situation, gova shtei ksuba. She could get her first ksuba, as well as the second ksuba. However, if the ksuba kodemus leget, the date on the ksuba is earlier than the date on the get, so then even though she's married twice, ain't a gova el ksuba achas, then she's only entitled to collect one ksuba because of the principle that we said in our Mishnah, and the Braisa says the same thing. Shemagaris is ishah verzira amenas ksuba harishona herzira. There's the understanding that if he marries her and he hasn't paid off the first ksuba, so then that is essentially null and void because that ksuba will now be the ksuba for the second marriage. Finally, the last mission of the parak, Katan Shisiu Ovid. Now, a father is allowed to marry off his daughter, but there is no din that a father can go marry off his son. So therefore, if the father married off a Katan's son, so therefore, the ksuba they wrote, it doesn't have halachic validity to it. Ksubasa kayemis. But if the, as Rashi points out, in Dibur Amaslu, ksubasa kayemis, so that ksuba that he wrote for her when he was a child, his father wrote it for him, it's written on his behalf, shekosav lo sheku katan, so that technically is worth nothing because the directives of a katan are meaningless. Ulegabe ger ksuva shekosav lo biyosa oikachave. And similarly, we'll have a case in a moment where he wrote a ksuva for his wife while he was a non-Jewish person, then he was miskayer. So in both of these situations, as we'll see, right now we're talking about the situation where the father married off the son when he was a katan, and then the child lived with the woman as a gadol. They grew up together, and now he is living with her as a gadol. Ksubasa kayemis, the original ksuba that he wrote, is the same ksuba that the woman will now be able to collect on from her marriage. And we'll explain this a little bit more in detail. Because she'amenas kein kaima, because that was the reasoning that he continued the marriage with her, she continued the marriage with him, because she has a ksuba. Similarly, gerushin is gaira ishto imo, a ger who he and his wife were married as non-Jewish people, and then both of them converted. So the ksuba that he wrote her as a non-Jewish person has no validity now as a Jewish person. Nevertheless, ksubasa kayemis, this ksuba, once they live together as a man and wife, as Jews, so then this ksuba that he wrote to her as a non-Jewish person is going to be valid as well for her to collect. Because again, shalmanas kein kima, because in this situation, the reason that he married her and stayed married to her was based upon this ksuba. So therefore, the ksuba takes effect in both the case of a katan who grew up and became a gadol and lived with his wife, or the ger shenis gayer, he and his wife. So when they live together after they're full-fledged Jews, so then the original ksuba that he wrote when he was a guy to her, when she was a gaita, so that still is valid now when they live together after they're Jewish. Okay, a lot to be said on this. The Gemara will say it. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Lo shanu elamonu masayim. That which we said that the ksuba is valid, that's only for the mona and mosayim. However, aval tosefes ein lo, but anything else that was written there, so the actions of the katan, the actions of the goy, don't have any validity now in their new marriage. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Amar, no, afilu Tosefes Yeshla. What are you talking about? He says the Tosefes is also on that Menas, Shal Menas Kein Kima. So therefore, the Tosefes Ksuba as well as the Ikar Ksuba applies here as well. They question Rav Yehuda, Meisve. The following Brisa seems to go against Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is the Morer, shouldn't be going against the Brisa. The Brisa says only if Chidshu, no Telis Masha Chidshu. Seemingly, the Brisa says if they added something to the Ksuba of this Katan who became a Gadol or the Goy who became a Yid, he was Niskayer. So then, in that situation, she is entitled to the wife of the previous Katan, the wife of the previous non-Jewish man who was Niskayer. So she, in that situation, both of these situations, gets to keep the new additional stuff on the Ksuba. So Chidshu, no Telis Masha Chidshu, the implication being only Chidshu in. Lo chichu lo. But if they didn't add anything, then no, you wouldn't be entitled to anything extra. Exactly like Rav Huna said, you only get the ikk ksuba, not the tosefes ksuba. Kash on Rav Yehuda said, afilu tosefes yeshla. So Gemara says, no, maybe this Brisa is talking about ema af mashichichu. It doesn't mean only mashichichu. It says even what was nischadesh, and certainly anything that was there originally, is allowed to be collected. So it's not a stira to Rav Yehuda. But Gemara says, no, there's another Braisa. Didn't we learn in the following Braisa? Chitshu. It says here, if anything new was added to the Ksuba, then no telis mashu chitshu. Okay, that's the same as the first Braisa, but here it adds on. And it says, lo chitshu. Here it says specifically, if they didn't add anything on, so then the besula gove mosayim. So if she was originally, as we'll see, it means if she was originally besula, she's obviously not a besula. They've been living together as a katan or as a non-Jewish family. So the Basula, if she was originally Basula, Gova Masayim, then she's entitled to get Masayim. Then Almana, if she originally was an Almana, then she's only entitled to get 100. In other words, only the Mana Umasayim, but not the Tosefes Kesuba, only Chitshu that she gets, Lo Chitshu, she doesn't get any Tosefes that was originally written there, Kasha on Rav Yehuda. Mor says, Taki, you're right, Tiyufta the Rav Yehuda. This is a Kasha on what Rav Yehuda said. No, what was Rav Yehuda's mistake? Because Rav Yehuda, Masnisin Atise, he misunderstood our Mishnah. And Husavar, he thought originally when our Mishnah said Ksubaso Kayemes, right? Our Ksuba said Katun, she see over Ksubaso Kayemes. So he thought that meant Akula Milsakai. It meant that the entire Ksuba, not just the Mona Masayim, but he thought that was including the Tosefes Ksuba, is Mekuyim as well, the Lohi. But that's wrong, as we just showed from the Braisa. Aikar Ksuba Koi, our Mishnah, when it said that the Katun, she see over Ksubaso Kayemes, because Amanas Kain Kima, that was only on the Ikka Ksuba. And likewise, Gershin is Gaira, Ishto Imo, Ksubasa Kayemes, Shal Manas Kain Kima. So that's only talking about the Ikka Ksuba, but not any Tosefes Ksuba. And only if they added on something afterwards, in that situation, if there was an additional Tosefes on the original Tosefes that was there, so then, only in that situation, is that going to be Mekuyim. But otherwise, only the Ikka Ksuba will be enforceable. Hadron lecha kosev l'ishto, hadron lecha kosev l'ishto, hadron lecha kosev l'ishto. And now we'll start the 10th parak, mi shahaya nasui shtei nashim. So the Mishnah begins, the 10th parak begins as follows. If a man was married, mi shahaya nasui shtei nashim, a man was married to two wives, umeis, and then he dies. Both of the wives are alive, so each of them collects their ksuba. So harishona kodemes l'shnia. So the wife that he married first, her marriage predates the marriage of the second wife, her ksuba predates the marriage of the second ksuba, and if there isn't enough money in his estate to pay off both ksubas, so then the first wife, kodemes l'shnia, she collects 100% of her ksuba before the second wife can collect everything. She's a prior debt, so to say, and therefore she collects over the second wife. And in the situation where Nebuch, both of the wives die before they collected the ksuba, the yorshe rishona kodmin l'yorshe shnia. So likewise, the same din applies. The inheritors of these two women, their sons, so their sons in this situation, the son of mother of wife number one, and the sons of wife number two, so the sons of wife number one would be inheriting 100% of their mother's kasuba ahead of any collection by the sons of wife number two, again, because the document is a prior document, and that document gets collected first, whether it's from the wives or whether it's from their descendants if the wives died after the husband passed away. The Mefarshim point out over here that this would be true even if only the first wife died and the second wife is still there. The fact that the second wife is demanding her ksuba, but the first wife's descendants, her children, have a prior right, even though they're not the direct claimant themselves. They're only collecting it via Yerusha for their mother, but that prior claim is there, whether the wives themselves are collecting it or whether, in this situation, only the first wife's children collect it, even though the second wife is still there, the first wife's children take priority because the shtar of the ksuba was earlier than the second wife's ksuba. Then the Mishnah goes on to discuss the halach of ksubas benin dichrin. We learned this previously in many places, that in order to encourage the father of the bride to give a big dowry, so we say that don't worry, as long as there's enough money in the estate that there will be a Yerusha to all the children from any other wives as well as your daughter, so all those children will inherit something, so then once the dinim of Yerusha are present, so then we'll also give an additional priority that anything that you bring into the dowry of your daughter will only go to your daughter's sons. So, for example, he brings in $100,000 worth of property, and the ksuba is worth another $100,000, and the second woman also has a ksuba of $100,000. So now, there's $300,000 plus one dinar at least in the estate, so then that one dinar will definitely, according to everybody, serve as the Yerusha Daraisa, and then each of the women can collect the ksuba, and then the additional $100,000 that the first wife's father put in will only go to her children. Again, if she doesn't have children, so then it goes to the estate, and it will all go to the other wife. But if there are children, so this is called ksuvas benin dichrin, to encourage the father to make his daughter more desirable in marriage by adding more property, but he doesn't want to do this if somebody else's children are going to inherit his property, so this is called ksuvas benin dichrin. This works, according to everybody, as long as there's a moser dinar in the estate that can be divided up, so you're not bypassing the dinar of Yerusha. The question that we'll ask in Gemara, what happens if there isn't a Moser Dinar, but there is enough for the ksuba of the second wife, does that count as Moser Dinar? We'll have a discussion about that in the Gemara. So anyway, the Mishnah concludes and says, Nosa so Rishonu Mesa, the man married a first wife, and Nebuchadnezzar passed away, and then Nosa Shnia Umesu, and then there's a second wife that he married, and he passes before she does. So she's alive. So she's now inheriting her ksuba from the estate. So Shnia, or the Yerushal, or her children, if she dies, Kodman, Liyarusha, Rishona. They collect this because theirs is in debt. The Ksuba is considered like an IOU, it's not a Yerusha. Whereas the first wife's children, they're collecting this through Yerusha. Ksuva Spinin Dichwin is a Yerusha. So a debt is always paid off before the Yerushan can collect. So in this situation, there won't be Ksuva Spinin Dichwin. We'll have a lot to say about this in the Gemara. Let's jump to the Gemara right now. First, we start off by discussing the Reisha. Midiktaniya Rishona Kodemes Lishnia. The language that was used over here is that the first wife, in the case where there are two wives, and the husband dies, so both wives want to collect the ksuba. So we said the first wife, who has the earlier ksuba, collects her entire ksuba first. So it says, Midiktaniya Rishona Kodemes Lishnia. The language over here seems to say that she takes priority. She gets to go first in collecting it, but that would imply that if the other one grabbed it, if the second wife grabbed it, we wouldn't take it away. Because Velog Tani Harishona Yesh Lav Shnia Ela doesn't say the first one has and the second one doesn't have. So therefore, the implication is, the Gemara wants to suggest, Miklal, the Ikodmo Shnia, the Tavsa Lo Mavkinon Mino, that if the second wife, in fact, grabbed her ksuba, and there's obviously not enough to pay for most, Rashi says, if there's enough to pay for most, then what difference does it make who grabs it first? So clearly, we're talking about there's only enough to pay off one of the two kasubas, and if the second wife grabbed it, the implication from the Mishnah is, since it didn't say that she doesn't get it at all, it just said the first one has priority, so therefore if the second one went out of order and grabbed it, we don't take it away from her. Shema mina, we can see here a raya, therefore the Gemara says, Bal chov mu'ucha, shekod magava, mashagava gava. This would be the same din if you had two bali chov. So one has a shtar that's from last year, and one has a shtar that's from this year, and they're both due now. So the earlier shtar is supposed to collect first. There's only limited funds, so they will collect, and the second one won't. So the Gemara wants to suggest, we see from our Mishnah, from this implication, that if the second wife grabbed it, we don't take it away from her. So too, if the second bal chov grabbed it, Masha Gova Gova, we don't take it away from him. Where it says that's not necessarily true. Liolam, in fact, we could say Emilcho Masha Gova Lo Gova. We could actually say that, no, in the case of the Bali Chov, if the second one who has a later shtar went and grabbed it, no, we would force him to give it back. In our Mishnah, it said Kodemes. It seemed to imply that the first wife has the priority, but it seemed to be an implication that if the second wife grabbed it, we would keep it with her. Lo Mavkino Mina. So my kodemus, so what does it mean kodemus then? So it means legamre ktani. Our Mishnah, when it says that the first wife has priority, it didn't mean priority, it means absolute priority. In other words, even if the second wife grabbed it, the first wife can take it from her, because the second wife isn't entitled to anything. She gets zilch unless the first wife's ksuba is fully paid for. And I'll show you, the Gemara says that this is right, because we have the same terminology elsewhere. Kedithnan, where it talks about the dinim of Yerusha, it says that Bain is kodem levas. It says in the Mishnah, in Bava Basra, that the sons are taking priority over the daughters. Now, that doesn't mean that if the daughter grabbed it, well, the daughter gets it. No, it means that the daughter in the setting of the son is zero. And therefore, Bein Kodim Levas means that not only is there a priority for the son, but it's an absolute priority. He gets it, and if she even grabs it, he gets to take it for her. So too in our Mishnah, when it said the first wife has Kodemes, priority, it doesn't mean just priority. It means that even if the second wife grabbed it, the first wife could take it away. That's the first version understanding of our Mishnah. Ikad the Amri, there's another version to understand it the exact opposite. Since midelo kitani imkod mishniya v'tofsa ein motzi miyada, since the Mishnah did not specifically state that if the second one grabbed it, we don't take it away from her, the implication is miklal the ikod mishniya v'tofsa mavkina mina. That in fact our Mishnah's implication is from not saying otherwise that even if the second wife grabbed it, the first wife has the right to take it away. And what do we see? Shema, and this would be a raya then to the case of two balichov. One has an earlier shtar, one has a later shtar. That even if the one with the later shtar grabbed, so the first shtar who has the earlier priority has the right to take it away from him. Pum paket, the exact opposite of the first version. The Ikud Diamre is telling us the exact opposite. That we try to bring a raya from a Mishnah that even if the woman grabbed it, so the first wife is entitled to take it from the second wife. So too, the first Bachov is entitled to take it from the second Bachov, even if the second Bachov grabbed it. Where it says, no, you can't bring me a riot from that as well. The Olam, I could say, Em l'chol mashigov v'govet. No, in fact, if the second Bachov grabbed it, we would leave it in the second Bachov's hands. Why? Because I did the toner shni of Yorsha, Kodman Yorsha Rishona, since our Mishnah was just for parallel purposes, not mentioning that if the second wife grabs it, we don't take it away from her. Because it's just keeping parallel with the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Sefer of the Mishnah, as I just read, says, Shniya v'yorsheya, kodman v'yorsheya rishona. In the second case of the Mishnah, where the man had a wife and the wife died, he then got married to a second wife and then he died, so the second wife has priority over the ksuvas b'din dichrin of the first wife's children. Now, I did the tonish shniya v'yorsheya, kodman v'yorsheya rishona. Since in the Sefer of the Mishnah, it used this lashon that the shniya v'yorsheya are kodman v'yorsheya rishona, so they have priority over it, and therefore they get to take it because they're bali chov, and a Yerusha can't go and jump ahead of a bal chov, so therefore, and we turn to Tzadi Omud Beis, for parallelism, the race of the Mishnah wrote the same thing. Tonanami Rishona kodemis l'shniya, but you can't bring me a raya over here that if the second wife had grabbed it, she wouldn't keep it. Okay. Now we discuss the second part of the Mishnah about the ksuvas benin dichrin. Nasar Sirishona, we quote the Mishnah where it said that the man married the first wife, and then Nebuch, the first wife, passed away, and then he married the second wife, and then Nebuch, he passes away. So we said in that situation, the second wife, or if then she passes away, her Yarshim would take priority to get the ksuba over the ksuvas benin dichrin of the first wife's children. Again, everybody has to keep everything in place. It's not that difficult. Gemara says, Shmamino Tlos. We learn out three things from all Gemara. Number one, Shmamino, Achas b'chayavi, Achas b'moso, Yeshlem k'suvas b'nin dichrin. That this din of k'suvas b'nin dichrin applies whether you have one alive or both alive. The two wives and their children, so there's a din of k'suvas b'nin dichrin no matter what. Whether one is alive and one is not alive, the din applies. We're not concerned that, well, the children can say they get a different Yerusha than I do. That's not fair. We're not concerned about that. Mimai, how come? Because midiktani shniya the Yerusha kodman the Yerusha Rishona. Because the lashon of the second part of the Mishnah, the safe of the Mishnah, was that in the situation where there was a second marriage and then the husband died, so in that situation we said the Yerushim, or the woman herself, if she's alive, would have rights through a Baal Chov status to collect the ksuba, as opposed to the Yerushim of the first wife, the sons of the first wife, to collect the ksubas min dichrin, that's a Yerusha. And therefore, mikdam hu dekadmi. And therefore, the Baal Chov takes priority over a Yerusha. And therefore, ha'ikar shakli. But if there's enough money in the estate to pay off both, so then the second wife will get her ksuba, and then the first wife, the children, will get the ksubas min dichrin. So therefore, you see that the concept of ksubas min dichrin applies whether it's achas b'chayav yachas b'moso, even if it's the scenario of the safe of the Mishnah. Shami number two, shami no ksubas nasa, ksuba nases moso l'chaverta. We talked about already earlier in the shiur that everybody agrees that if there's a moser dina and we establish the dina mirusha deraisa, so then we allow the ksubas min dichrin to take effect. But what happens if there is no moser dina? So we learn from our Mishnah that the ksuba that the second wife is collecting is the equivalent of a moser dina. And mimai, why is that? Because midelo ketani imyesha moser dina, because it doesn't say that the ksuvas benin dichrin will apply if there's a moser dina. So therefore, the ksuba itself that the second wife collects is considered the moser dina. And the third Shema Amina, Ksuvitz Min Dichwin, Lo Tofa Mimishubadi, that we don't allow the Ksuvitz Min Dichwin to be collected if that property was sold. The husband sold it, so then we don't allow the children of the first wife to go and collect from property that had already been sold. Because the Isoka Daitin Tofa Mimishubadi, because if you allow them to go collect from Mishubadi, then we should have said over here, the second wife collects the kasuba, and then let the children of the first wife go and grab it from the second wife's children. From the fact that we didn't say that, you clearly don't collect the kasubas benin dichwin from Mishubadi. Now we're going to question the first two of these shmaminos. Maskel Ravashi, Ravashi says, Mimai, how do we know that the first shmamino is correct? Maybe Dilma Liola Meimaloch. Maybe we could say over here that in fact Achas Bechayiv Yachas Mozo. If one wife is alive, one died during his lifetime, and one died after him. So in other words, one wife was still alive after his death. So then maybe in that situation, Ein Lam Ksuvas Benin Dichwin. There is no Ksuvas Benin Dichwin. There's only Ksuvas Benin Dichwin if they both die during the husband's lifetime. It said Kodmin. Well, my Kodmin, when it said that the second wife or her children have a Kadima to collect the ksuba, so that only means lenachlo ktani. That's talking that their debt, the second wife collecting her ksuba, or her children collecting it on her behalf if she passes away, so that takes precedence over nachlo. The chitema yarshi rishon alomali. So then, why did it mention the yarshi rishon at all? What difference does it make if this ksuba has been nichlun or not? Teaching us, I did the tana shtia of yarsha, so tana nami the yarshi rishon. That's just for parallelism. But in fact, you can't learn out that the ksuvas benin dichwin in any event, because all it's telling us over here is that the baal chov aspect of her collecting the ksuba takes priority over any inheritance. So that's how Ravashi says, you can't bring me the first shmamino is not correct. And the second shmamino that we said with the comments, the ksuvin nazis mosul chaverta, that shmamino as well, dilma, the olam, emaloch, I could tell you, en ksuvin nazis mosul chaverta. No, one could say that that's not. And there actually is a dina over here. I didn't mention it, but it's obvious because we're going to learn in tomorrow's shiur that there's one opinion that says you must have the mosul dina, and our Mishnah could go like that opinion. Finally, the Gemara says, "V'yachas b'chayiv yachas mosu tanoi." This idea that Ravashi had just questioned is actually a machlokas tanoim. Is there ksuvas benin dichrin in a situation where one wife predeceased the husband and the other wife was still alive at the time of the death of the husband? That is a machlokas. What is that machlokas? The Tanya. We learn the following brisa: "Mesu achas b'chayiv yachas mosu." Our second part of the Mishnah, that case where the man married a woman and she died, he then married another woman and then he died. So then, in this situation, we have machlos benanis or bekeeper. Benanis omer, yecholim b'nei harishon alo ma'al b'nei ashiya. The first wife's children can say to the second wife's children, you are only coming b'nei balas chovatem. You are coming as the sons of a balas chov. Your mother has an entitlement as a chova to a ksuba. So, tulu ksubas imchem utsu. Go take your mother's ksuba and go away. Because there's only enough in the estate for us to go and collect everything else. So that's it. You're gone. You're coming as a balas chov, but you're not entitled to inherit anything else because that's all ksuvas benin dichrin. So Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Benanis. That's Benanis' opinion. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Kvar kovtza nachlam milifnei b'nei harishona b'nofla b'nei b'nei ashniya. No. That ksuvas benin dichrin is gone because there's a second wife now and she's alive at the time of the death of the husband. So that concept of ksuvas benin dichrin doesn't apply. So this machlokas, Benanis Rabbi Kiva, is exactly our machlokas. My lab b'hok komiflugi, isn't this exactly what we're talking about? D'mar sovar achas b'chayiv achas mosu. That's Benanis, the Tanakama, yesh lo ksuvas benin dichrin. Does hold that there's a ksuvas benin dichrin. Umasa Rabbi Kiva holds that in fact, achas b'chayiv achas mosu, elem ksuvas benin dichrin. If it's a situation like we have, so then there is no ksuvas benin dichrin. Where it says, lav dafka. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi holds, no. Ashachinu l'rabbanan d'vei Rav, the Yasuf Yekamri. I saw the Beis Medrash of Rav. They were having this discussion, and they wanted to suggest that, no, the kuli amma, achas b'chayv yachas b'moso, everybody agrees, yeshla b'kulis b'nin dichwin. That's not the machlokas benanis and Rabbi Kiva. And what are the benanis and Rabbi Kiva arguing about? V'hocha b'ksuvas nasis mosul chaverta, they're arguing about. And the same thing would apply with a Baal Chov, is the payment of a ksuba, or the payment of a Baal Chov considered the most ordina that's essential. That's what they're arguing about, komifligi. Because Benanis, the Tanakhama says, Ma'ar Sovar Ksubas Nasin Mosul Chaberta. He holds that that did fulfill the din of Mosul Dinar. That would apply for the Ksuba, Vuhu Adin Labal Chov. Whereas Umar Sovar Rikiva holds, no, Eng Ksuba Nasis Mosul Chaberta, Vuhu Adin Labal Chov, that neither of those two counts as a Mosul Dinar. And if you don't have a Mosul Dinar, then the Ksubas Benin Dichwin doesn't apply. So that's what Rabba heard them discussing in the Beis Medrash of Rab. And he said, no. And I said to them, no. In regards to the Baal Chov, everybody agrees that that is considered Moser. The only argument that the Rabbi Akiva has is in regards to the Ksuva. Keep leaving the Ksuva. Now, that's how Rabba understood it. Maskel Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that entire idea. And he says, if that were true, if what you, Rabba, are saying, and what the Beis Medrash of Rabba was saying is correct, Yehochi, then Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Kvar, Kovtzel, Nachala, then why did he say, no, the Nachla has been transferred over and the Ksuvas Nidichon doesn't apply? He should have just said, if there was a Moser Dinar, then you would be entitled to the Ksuvas Nidichon. But there's no Moser Dinar, and that's why you're not entitled to it. And therefore, Rav Yosef says, Halom Rav Yosef, the first way we understood it was that this is a Machlokes Benanis Rabbi Akiva, is about whether we in fact say, Achas B'chayev, Yachas B'moso, is Ksuvas Nidichon or not. The Achas B'chayev, Yachas B'moso, Kol Miflugi. That's what they're arguing about. This is a good break point. We, Baruch Hashem, have now fully caught up for all the Yom Tiv and Yom Neroim days. Yitzhak Hashem, we'll get back to doing just one daf every day. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.